For Friday, March 27th, I'm Izzy Ross.
And I'm Tyler.
And we are in separate studios today, so we're going to be working out a few kinks, but please stay with us. Many tribal councils around the region have restricted travel to their communities. This week, we have a rundown of what those changes are, and we'll head over to yesterday's special meeting from the Dillingham City Council, which also passed an emergency ordinance on travel to Dillingham. We're going to break down the Bristol Bay Borough's special assembly meeting this week, where residents expressed concerns about the upcoming commercial fishing season. Countries around the world have been restricting travel in an effort to contain the spread of the coronavirus. We talked to an exchange student from Dillingham who's currently stuck in Peru and look at her family's efforts to get her home. All that and more coming up right after this. All right, let's get started this afternoon. To prevent the spread of coronavirus, many villages around Bristol Bay have restricted travel to their communities. We're going to go through some of those changes in just a minute.
At a special meeting yesterday, the Dillingham City Council passed a resolution that essentially restricts non-essential travel to Dillingham for those who don't have a permit from the city. That goes into effect at 11:59 p.m. tonight and lasts until May 1st.
That's right. It passed 5-1. The resolution establishes an essential travel zone around Dillingham. The council amended it to put a permit system in place for those wishing to travel. Those permits come from the city. The city manager will decide on permit applications. And if the application is denied, that applicant can appeal the decision. At that point, the mayor will decide on the appeal, and that decision will be final. It also requires a 14-day self-quarantine for those coming to Dillingham. And the council did say that this resolution could change as circumstances change. The Choryong Tribal Council passed a public health disaster declaration on Wednesday for the tribal community. It also urged the Dillingham City Council to halt non-essential travel in and out of Dillingham and to require a 14-day self-quarantine for anyone coming to the community.
What were some of the main points brought up by community members?
There were a lot. The meeting yesterday was a teleconference, Zoom hybrid meeting, and there were definitely some technical difficulties at the beginning. We will be posting the meeting audio to the KDLG website for those who wish to listen to the full meeting. The Choryong Tribal Council obviously supported restricting travel to the community. Second Chief Gayla Hossett said the council needed to learn from Bristol Bay's history, the city council that is, the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918, which devastated the population. Let's listen to her comment from yesterday.
We do not have the capacity to handle the 7,000 people who live here. We will not have the capacity to handle 3 or 4 times that population. So, and also with your guys' emergency ordinance, how long is that going to be in effect? And we need to have, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done with the city and the state. Everything is unclear right now of what the quarantine rules are, and we're going to need the National Guard out here in Bristol Bay, period. There's no question about it.
Now, processors are walking a pretty fine line here. Of course, it's in their interest for their workers to be healthy. They also have a lot invested in making sure the season continues. Many say they're working on contingency plans for the upcoming fishing season. Here's Travis Roanfans, a plant manager for Peter Pan Seafoods. He says they're working on a community protection plan, including delaying their arrival in Dillingham until mid-May.
We've significantly reduced the size of our crew by over 200 people, with the idea that some internal looking as far as overhead issues, but also just as far as the spread of this and the way we can control it. And we're looking at some screening maneuvers in Anchorage to screen people before they ever get out to the region. An extensive screening even before they get on the airplane from where they're originating from. There's been some talk about bringing folks over from Europe and we've limited that down, and we may not be using any of that. Some of that's based on travel restrictions, of course, but really, if we can get folks domestically that have been quarantined and we know that they're safe to bring into the region, that's what we want to do.
Other people had concerns about restricting those leaving Dillingham, like teachers and other seasonal workers who are currently here. There is an option to apply for a permit to travel, which was an amendment to address that issue. This is also a standing item on the council's agenda, and the council will be taking up the ordinance again at their meeting next Thursday, so it's not set in stone. Many villages around the region have enacted travel restrictions in an effort to protect against coronavirus. Some of these guidelines include halting travel to communities for non-residents and limiting use of public facilities.
And we have a rundown of those changes from a few of those communities. The new Koliganik Village Council announced Monday night that travel into the village for non-community members is suspended until further notice. The council is asking incoming residents to self-quarantine for 14 days. That means other people in their household will have to adhere to the policy as well. In the statement, quote, "New Koliganik Village Council is looking after the well-being of our community. This is to protect the safety of our people," end quote, in the announcement. According to the council, airlines were notified of the change. The council is also prohibiting loitering at community facilities. It is allowing up to two people inside buildings at a time. If there is a case of COVID-19 in the village, all facilities will shut down and residents will be advised to stay at home.
The City of New Haven and the New Haven Village Council issued a joint statement announcing there will be no travel in and out of the village until May 1st. The ban went into effect at 11:59 p.m. Tuesday. The decision came after the tribe and city met to discuss concerns and measures against COVID-19. Residents returning home will be required to quarantine themselves for 14 days. If the village doesn't see a case within 3 weeks, it could modify the restrictions. Air taxis will work with the city and tribe to screen essential personnel coming to the village who are exempt from the ban, such as maintenance workers for the sewer, water, and electrical systems. The New Steahawk Traditional Council announced a similar travel ban on Tuesday. Those in the village should only leave in case of a medical emergency, and all residents traveling back to the community are required to quarantine for 14 days. That means that members of their households will have to self-quarantine as well. In an announcement, the tribe encouraged all residents not to visit other homes and to stay away from large gatherings. Both New Steahawk and New Haven have also banned loitering at public facilities, encouraging residents to conduct business and leave as quickly as possible. If New Steahawk sees a case of COVID-19, the tribe says all their public facilities will be closed.
The Ugiagig Village Council has also closed travel to non-community members, with the exception of essential maintenance and health personnel. The council is also urging residents who want to return to the village to do so as soon as possible. Those who return, as well as their household members, will have to self-quarantine for 14 days. The village council will distribute flyers to residents on how to clean properly and avoid the virus. In its announcement, the council said, quote, "We realize that the above recommendations will not fit every situation and that this is an ever-changing environment," end quote. And it encouraged residents to contact the village council with any questions. Meanwhile, the Kakanak Village Council is requiring any person traveling to have written approval from the council. They are also requiring self-quarantine for any people entering the village. The council is requesting that only one person enter the post office and stores at a time. Kakanak Utilities is only selling gasoline and oil, and customers must call prior to purchasing. The council also requests that people call ahead before going to the Kakanak Clinic.
Finally, on this rundown, the Native Village of Perryville has told all air taxis and charter airlines not to transport non-residents to the village. That measure went into effect on Wednesday. Perryville residents and medical providers will be allowed to travel to healthcare facilities for medical reasons. On March 20th, Perryville issued a $500 power card and 150 gallons of heating fuel to each household in order to halt traffic to the village office. The village said in a notification, quote, "Please use this current power and fuel distribution efficiently and wisely, making it last," unquote. It added that residents who have outstanding bills must still pay those bills in order to receive services in the future.
As we learn more about coronavirus in Alaska, some residents of the Bristol Bay Borough are concerned about the fast-approaching commercial fishing season, when thousands of processor workers and fishermen come to the region. At an assembly meeting this week, the borough shared the latest information from meetings with processors. I tuned into the meeting and have this report. The Bristol Bay Borough declared an emergency response to the coronavirus at a teleconference meeting Tuesday. The focal point of the meeting was preparations and precautions ahead of the 2020 salmon season. Declaring an emergency response means the borough is now eligible to receive financial assistance at the state and federal levels. The Naknek Native Village Council will be coordinating with governing bodies to protect tribal members and elders. Most of the meeting was spent addressing the upcoming salmon season. Community members dialed in to voice some of their concerns if there is an outbreak in the community.
Okay, this is Michael Gottschalk. What are we going to do to protect ourselves? I really expect and appreciate the industry, but I am not going to bet my life on 1 pound salmon.
Think about the thousands and thousands of people that come through the airport at the same time that fishermen and processors are all coming through there, and they're headed up to Katmai. And that exposure in that small area, you are looking for a huge disaster.
I'm just concerned about outside fishermen spreading this disease to our elders, and I think you guys should shut it down. And when people start dying, if they do, just something we got to think about. All right, thank you.
It's keeping us awake at night. We sure appreciate your comments. Mr. Mayor. Anything else? Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
That was Michael Gottschalk, Jennifer Aspelund, Ralph Engenson, and Mayor Dan O'Hara. Earlier this week, city officials spoke with processors and the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Assemblymember Eddie Clark was impressed with how processors are handling the situation.
The one processor that stuck out was Silver Bay. They said that they will come in and be here a short while, launch the boats and stay in the water and not come ashore even. And they would do whatever the local government wants them to do.
Other processors suggested chartering planes from Anchorage to King Salmon and using private buses to get their employees to their campuses for a 14-day quarantine. The borough is also considering the King Salmon Hangar and Mall. The assembly is working with the local emergency planning committee to authorize those locations. Mary Swain, part of a fishing task force for the east side of Bristol Bay, says BBRSDA is sending letters to their fishermen detailing the association's expectations for the upcoming season. The processors are going to work together to reach out to community members.
They're going to develop a letter to go out to all community members on their half saying these are all the things that we're going to do, and they're going to come up with a combined list of everything that they're doing collectively, and each of them will sign on that, yes, we're doing this too, so that this is what you can expect from us. Please let us know if you have more questions of us.
The borough expects to receive those letters next week, but some are worried about the rest of the fishermen coming to town. The state required all out-of-state workers operating between now and May 1st to submit plans to the governor Wednesday. Assemblymember Russell Phelps wants to see the borough enact a plan that would hold fishermen accountable at the local level.
I think the borough needs to require the fishermen get something out to the permit holders and have the permit holders write something up and give it to the borough so that the borough can approve them coming in with a plan.
Phelps also wants to address retailers like CMAR, LFS, and other maintenance workers coming into town. The assembly agreed to compile more information and to address this concern at the next meeting in April. In Dillingham, I'm Tyler Thompson. Dillingham business owners are adjusting to shutdowns and changes to operations to minimize the potential spread of the coronavirus. The Bristol Bay Diner and Hotel are two businesses that closed last week. The diner donated fresh produce and other perishable goods to residents. Manager Tom McCulloch says they've lost business from conferences canceling at the hotel and other large catering events.
So, yeah, we're suffering financially. We're not kicking the can about it because it's reality. We're just keeping our chins up and looking forward to the future and this vanishing at some point.
McCulloch says he could consider curbside services, but wants to take the proper precautions to protect the community and employees. Tide Table Coffee also decided to close Tuesday. 3 weeks prior to closing, co-owner Ian Foe and his spouse were the only two people working at the stand. They employ four workers. Foe said they want to minimize contact with people and adhere to social distancing practices.
yeah, I just want people to be responsible and just know that we're taking this serious, and hopefully you stay safe as well.
The closure is indefinite until things clear up. Christy Larson is a hairdresser who is self-employed. Larson provided services for people prior to the state-mandated closures of businesses where individuals are within 6 feet of each other. She is remaining optimistic and shared some fun advice for at-home care.
Yeah, I saw a funny meme going around that if you want to help yourself to socially distance, you could give yourself a haircut. If you want to shave your own head or shave off your eyebrows or whatever might help you to stay home alone.
Larson brought home all her equipment to sanitize. She wants to hit the ground running once services can continue. The Dillingham Liquor Store is still open, but has made strict changes to operations. Some of the workers are considered to be high risk for contracting the COVID-19 disease. They are allowing up to 4 people in the store at a time, but they can make a line outside if that number is exceeded. Manager Gretchen Mueller wants to install a sliding window. She submitted the plan to the Home Alcohol and Marijuana Control Board this week.
You can drive up, get out of your vehicle, go to the window, you know, make a purchase, and then that way we don't have close contact with everybody in our store.
McCulloch adds that employees are constantly cleaning services in the store and are wearing protective gloves. She said that it could take up to 9 days to hear back from the ABC board. Other businesses that have shut down include the CN and Willow Tree Bars. If you are an employee or business owner in Bristol Bay and are affected by closures, KDLG would love to hear from you. Contact us at the station at 907-842-2200 or email news@kdlg.org. We can also be reached through Facebook, Twitter at KDLG Radio, and Instagram at KDLG Public Radio.
I want to live forever.
Dalton School will not resume normal classes until September. In an update, the school said that staff will continue working full-time to provide the best possible education to students at home. Governor Dunleavy mandated last Friday that all schools in Alaska must close to students through May 1st. In Dalton, student work can be picked up Monday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m., and students can turn in completed work at that time. Teachers will also be calling to check in.
That sounds like it could be challenging for everyone involved, parents, students, and teachers.
Definitely. And I know I've been hearing from parents, students, and teachers around the region who have been expressing that, you know, it's just extenuating circumstances and it's just a difficult situation that everyone's trying to work through together. The Dalton School had a few tips for helping make this new system work. They said parents could make sure that work is getting picked up and turned in on time. Creating a schedule at home for the kids could help, and having a designated place for kids to work in the house could also help. The school also encouraged parents to ask for help from the school if they needed it.
Other students around the region will be allowed to return to school May 4th. Staff with the Dillingham City School District are reporting to work today, either in person or over the phone. According to an email from the school district's Human Resources Department, the school still plans to provide a meal service and delivery for all students. Staff are working to develop off-site curriculum for students as well. The district is requesting that staff who have returned from travel outside the state self-quarantine for 14 days before reporting to work. This also applies to people who have been in contact with those who have traveled outside of the state. The Bristol Bay Borough is also complying with the governor's mandate. In a Facebook post, the district said it is doing a snack and lunch delivery and homebound instruction.
The Bristol Bay District is also working with GCI and the Bristol Bay Telephone Cooperative to find ways to increase their ability to deliver online instruction to homes. The borough says it will continue to update families. we have some announcements from the Dillingham City School District. The district will begin meal service delivery starting on Monday, March 30th. Everyone from ages 0 to 18 years of age is eligible for this service, and each meal consists of a shelf-stable breakfast and lunch and snack item. Those meals will be delivered Monday through Friday in school vans or buses, and meals can also be picked up from the elementary school flagpole from 12 p.m. to 12:45 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Dillingham City School District also has an update on curriculum for students. As of Wednesday, the elementary school's first round of curriculum has been delivered to the post office, and the middle high school curriculum has also been delivered. It was delivered yesterday. Completed packets may be returned to food service delivery vans or buses or dropped off in the wooden box outside the middle school high school building near the parking lot and flagpole door. If you have any questions regarding the academic program for your student, you can contact the elementary school principal, Nick Schulmeyer, at 842-5642 or the middle high school principal, Vincent Kane, at 842-5221. Thousands of Americans are stuck in Peru, which has shut its borders to commercial flights in and out of the country. This has affected a number of Alaskans, including one Dillingham High School student studying abroad. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I have this report. Alethea Balek grew up in Dillingham. She's been studying abroad at a high school in Peru since August, and she was planning to stay until June. But as the coronavirus pandemic escalated, several developments changed that.
There's, like, no transportation coming to Tumbes, where I am right now, and there's no transportation coming into Peru from other countries. So getting back home, like, they're trying to figure out how they can get airplanes and, like, buses and stuff running so people can go to their home.
Alethea is doing fine. She's still staying with her host family in Tumbes. It's a city of about 100,000 people in the north of Peru, near the Ecuadorian border. Her study abroad program, the American Field Service, decided to send its participants back to their home countries soon after the World Health Organization declared coronavirus a pandemic, but at 11:59 on March 16th, Peru closed its international borders to commercial travel in and out of the country. It also enacted 15 days of mandatory quarantine. That quarantine was extended until April 12th. For thousands of Americans, that means staying put instead of returning home. Alethea's dad, Kyle, has been trying to get her back to Anchorage, where the family now lives.
Essentially, she's in Peru. She's had her bags packed for a week, and as soon as she can come home, she's ready to come home.
Part of the issue is that Tumbes, where Alethea is staying, is a 20-hour drive from the U.S. Embassy in Lima. Since Peru has halted domestic flights, getting to the Peruvian capital has been a challenge. Kyle says he's been working with the U.S. Embassy in Lima, as well as the Peruvian Embassy in Seattle and Senator Lisa Murkowski's office. But it's been hard. He's been trying to navigate travel restrictions on multiple levels of government.
You've got a nationwide quarantine. You've got no commercial flights. She's 2 days away from Lima. And we've got this bureaucratic requirement. And we're trying to clear all those hurdles.
Senator Murkowski touched on how Peru's closure is affecting Alaskans on the Senate floor last week.
We've got about 19 Alaskans that are stuck in Peru trying to get out of a country that has literally gone on lockdown. We were in long conversation yesterday with the folks at the State Department trying to figure out how to help them, how to help their families that are back home in Alaska that are calling my office every day, sometimes multiple times a day, saying, "What are you doing to help?"
In an email, a staff member said Murkowski encourages Alaskans with family members abroad to register with the State Department's Smart Traveler Enrollment Program, or STEP. AFS International, the study abroad program, did not respond to a request for comment in time for this story. In a statement on its website updated Wednesday, it said, quote, "Some students will be unable to return right now due to travel and logistical challenges. While these students wait to return to their families, AFS USA will continue to provide all support and services from staff and volunteers in the communities where students live, including insurance, until students can travel," unquote. Alethea says that in the meantime, she's doing well, and she's looking forward to getting back to Alaska.
It'll be nice to, like, see my parents, see my siblings, my dog.
Kyle is working to make that happen. He receives daily updates from the Peruvian embassy. He says that keeping tabs on these developments is exhausting, but necessary.
You know, I don't know what kind of international political mumbo-jumbo is going on, but, you know, I just want my daughter home.
According to the Peruvian embassy, as of Wednesday afternoon, two flights made it out of Peru, and more than 1,000 Americans have been repatriated. For Alaska's Energy Desk in Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
Finally, we have a poem from Dr. Kathy Heineman, which she said illustrated why people should take precautions and social distance.
I would like to close with a poem by Julie Staub. "There is no such thing as quantity in love," my mother said, correcting me. "No such thing as much love. You can't count it. No such thing as all my love. You can't contain it. Love expands. I love you," she said. "That's sufficient."
That does it for the show today. We're going to take a look at the weather, and then we have some community announcements coming up for you. It's currently 38 degrees in Dillingham. It really cleared up this afternoon. We have a southwest wind at 9 miles per hour right now. Wind chill down at 32 degrees and 10-mile visibility. Snow in the morning. Chance of snow in the afternoon today with accumulation up to 4 inches. Highs in the mid-30s to lower 40s. Light winds becoming a southwest wind at 10 to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Along the western capes, a southwest wind at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Shifting to the west, 20 to 35 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, a chance of snow in the evening. Snow after midnight. Accumulation up to 4 inches. Lows in the mid-20s to lower 30s. On Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow. Highs in the mid-30s. A west wind at 10 to 20 miles per hour. A northwest wind at 15 to 30 miles per hour along the western capes and the Alaska Peninsula. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy. A slight chance of snow in the evening with lows ranging from 5 to 15 degrees above zero. Over in Naknek, it's currently 33 degrees. It feels like 25 degrees, though. There's a north wind at 10 miles per hour. Areas of fog becoming cloudy and windy later on, with temperatures steady in the mid-30s, a west wind at 20 to 30 miles per hour. Snow showers tonight in Naknek, with steadier snow developing later on. A west-southwest wind at 15 to 25 miles per hour, and a chance of snow at 90%, accumulation up to 3 inches. On Saturday in Naknek, variably cloudy with snow showers, temperatures near steady in the mid-30s, a west-northwest wind at 10 to 20 miles per hour, chance of snow at 80% with about 1 inch expected, a high of 35 degrees and a low of 10 degrees in Naknek tomorrow. And up in Unalakleet, it's currently 12 degrees. A west wind at 9 miles per hour right now with a high of 13 degrees today. Windy conditions with snow showers this afternoon, an east wind at 25 to 35 miles per hour. And tonight, a low of 4 degrees, decreasing cloudiness and windy conditions with an east wind at 20 to 30 miles per hour. On Saturday in Unalakleet, a high of 16 degrees, a low of negative 3 degrees, partly cloudy skies with a northeast wind at 15 to 25 miles per hour. I'm going to turn it over to Tyler for community announcements.
Yes, community announcement time. So, Nishgat Cooperative has made some adjustments to their plans. For the 5 gig, 15 gig, and 100 gig plans, overage charges will now be at $7 per gigs. Members with the 100 gig package will also receive $55 off the normal package price of $109. For member residents, including K-12 college students and teachers that currently do not have internet access at their home, NETC is offering 10 gigs free of charge. Deposit and connect fees will be waived. The overage charge of $7 is effective as of March 25th. Any overages incurred previous to this date will be charged the normal overage charges at $12 per gig. Special board meeting for the Dillingham City School District is Monday, March 30th at 6 p.m. in the Dillingham District Office, Dillingham School District Office. Update from Wells Fargo, beginning Wednesday, March 25th, the bank will be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The drive-thru will be open. They are limiting the number of people allowed in the building to 10. They may be locking the door to limit the number of people entering. If you need to see a banker, you must make an appointment in advance. Call or go online, 842-5284 or 842-8500. The Bristol Bay Job Center is currently closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Char will be working from home for the time being. All phones have been forwarded to her cell and is also available by email during business hours, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. If you have any questions or have any jobs that need to be posted, please let Char know. The King Salmon DMV is closed for all transactions until April 7th. Please use the online DMV option. The Alaska court system is saying do not enter the courthouse if you have flu-like symptoms or have traveled outside Alaska in the last 14 days, live with or have had close contact with anyone who has been outside in the last 14 days, outside of the state, rather, have been directed to quarantine, isolate, or self-monitor at home for the coronavirus by a medical provider, or have been diagnosed with or have had close contact with anyone diagnosed with the disease. Free prepackaged meals are being made available to pick up at the Tribal Hall parking lot Monday through Friday from noon until 1 p.m. for all youth ages 0 to 18. Youth or their parents can pick up the meals to be eaten at home. An emergency order extends the state of Alaska winter moose season in a portion of GMU 18. The resident moose season with a bag limit of 2 moose will open from March 20th through April 30th. In the following areas, remainder of Unit 18. Please be informed that essential behavioral health services are available at BBAHC's Behavioral Health Counseling Center. If you would like services, please call for an appointment at 907-842-1230. A staff member will inform you that all clients will need to be screened at the outpatient lobby and provide proof of that screening when arriving at the counseling center. Please maintain at least 6 feet from all staff, wash your hands, and please do not shake hands. Thank you.
Wow, what a week, am I right?
Absolutely.
This is the weekly talk going through all the hardships that people have been seeing. We appreciate you staying with us through those technical difficulties at the beginning of the program. And we also appreciate everyone who's been so courteous on conference calls this week and throughout the past couple of weeks as people try to continue conducting business despite not being able to be in the same room with each other. I think people have, by and large, really held up and been patient with everyone, with each other.
Yeah, everyone's trying. I feel like, you know, we're all operating in uncharted territory and trying, you know, to make things work as best as possible from our remote locations. So, you know, thank you to everybody who's, you know, trying and doing their best. And remain optimistic. Stay healthy, stay safe, and enjoy your weekends.
Talk to you next week.